Blog Talk Radio.
Circles of Prosperity. I'm Cynthia Johnson, and I'm here with Dr. Reggie Johnson. We're your hosts this morning as we wind down our book study of oneness. We only have, I think, maybe two more chapters, maybe three more chapters to go. I hope everyone had a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Holiday weekend. Oh, the weather was fabulous. I hope it was here in Atlanta. I don't know what was going on in the rest of the country, but we had beautiful weather yesterday. And I hope that you guys are waking up after partying so hard yesterday and eating barbecue and doing all those fun things to be able to join us this morning, because we are going to be talking about harmony and creating peace. Creating heaven on earth. And we are moving very close to that time. And each of you have a major part to play. Good morning, Dr. Reggie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, Cynthia. How are you?
Oh, man.
I had a wonderful time yesterday.
Yes, because I got to play barbecue.
Mm-hmm. It was great. It was really, really fun and delicious, too. It was really great.
It was. We had a lot of fun. It was just me and you. Mm-hmm. It was absolutely fun. So why don't we go ahead and get the party started this morning. Our chat room is open. And so if you want to go ahead and log in to chat, you can this morning. But Dr. is going to start our opening prayer.
Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father and Mother, we thank you that we have divine parents. We don't come from this world. We come into this world. Let us make it better. Let us bring joy, enrichment, wisdom, harmony, and peace on every front, personal and worldwide. We thank you for the energy of love and that every nation on this earth has had a chance to understand the embodiment of peace, with every country and nation knowing Buddha, Kuan Yin, Krishna, Jesus, Muhammad, and every religion on earth to establish a peaceful order. Those who want to live in love and in divine balance, let us hook into those people and always be in touch with ourselves, that we bring balance into every relationship. And we bring love and harmony in ourselves, because without it, we know we can't survive from a planetary structure or individuation. And we thank you that we have love and honor in each person. Let us respect those people while they are alive and living. And that time is on our side, because when it's no longer on our side, it's too late to tell those people how we feel. We thank you for the energy of harmony in ourselves and giving peace and energy healing to all that we meet. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much, Dr. Reggie. You know, before I get started with the lesson this morning, I want to tell you that I spent the weekend going through books, trying to figure out what the next book is going to be. And it's weighing so heavy on my heart that you participate in that process. And I'm trying to figure out the most convenient way to have you to participate, because I know it takes a lot of time out of your schedule to go and click on those books that in the email that I sent you to look at what these books are about. And so I thought maybe what I would do is give you send out another email with just a summary, or to give you an idea of what each book is about. I'm not going to give you the full book, but just where the author is coming from, and then ask you to vote on it. You know, say yes or no on the books, but you have to choose one. Because we need to make a decision. But I will tell you this. It has become, each one of these books, the author is talking about the transformation that we are going through at this time. That amazed me. And what that revealed to me is that God, or the divine energy that we call God, a source that we're all connected to, is making it abundantly clear that there is a transformation taking place on the planet and that we are evolving. It was just amazing to read that. And so now the books are all coming from, are focusing on different areas of our lives and how to manage this transformation in those areas of our life. For instance, The Eye of the Storm is about conflict and how to maneuver through conflict during these times. Spiritual Partnership is talking about the dynamic in relationships and how that has changed or is changing. And this one I absolutely love, and I must admit I am leaning towards Spiritual Partnerships because one of the most popular downloads on our in our archives was on relationships and soulmates. And many of you are trying to figure out what's happening, and I'm not going to tell you the secret in this book, but it is powerful. How we are transforming and how our needs are transforming in a relationship. And this is extremely powerful. The Divine Matrix. Well, it's talking about the whole dynamics of the structure of the universe and how we live in that and the impact that we have on the whole cosmos. It's amazing. Even Mystics Have Bills to Pay. It's talking about the change in the universe and how it affects just how we manage our day-to-day living life in this new physical reality. So it's all here, and you guys need to take a glimpse, because this is your journey. This is our journey together. And, you know, I want your input. I really want your input. So please, I will send out this email. I'll probably try to do it as a survey so that you can make a vote and let me know. But any book that we choose is going to be the perfect book. I know. Why? Because everything is in divine order. And so it is. Okay, so let's move into our lesson this morning. We're in chapter 42. And it's on page 379. And I don't know if I've gone through this in this chapter or not. The days are running in and out. But you know what? If I'm repeating it, there's a reason that I'm repeating it. But I think this is where we're supposed to be, and please forgive me. Anyway, so we're going to talk about the concept of harmony and the essence of difference that sustains harmony, and how we reach heaven on earth as it has been prophesied to come. So here's what oneness says, okay? Harmony is a concept that one begins to integrate as the fullness of that experience takes precedence over the infinite shades of discord that have characterized most of this lifetime. At first, the experience seems like a novelty, and as regarded with amusement. But then one becomes aware of the consistency of that state of beingness and recognizes that the next stage in one's metamorphosis is at hand. So one is struck, often dramatically, by the realization that all possibilities are now viable options. And the variable that determines what is and what is not experienced is nothing more than a choice. For the limitations and the constraints that once may have restricted one's idea of what might be possible have been lifted vibrationally, and one recognizes the arrival at a stage where one's priorities may be scrutinized objectively, and perhaps for the very first time, and suddenly the world is saying yes. And instead of fending off adversity, one begins to focus on identifying what it is that one truly wants. For many, that focus shifts at the stage to one in which personal gain takes a back seat to work that emphasizes the higher perspective of the worldview, and one is inclined to dedicate the major thrust of one's life to efforts where the long-term benefit to humanity is the primary consideration. And one understands that one's own personal welfare will be seen to as a byproduct of that intent and need not command the primary focus of one's attention. In other words, once you move into the realization that you can have anything that you desire because you can create it, okay, you know how to manifest that which you desire, then just trying to achieve, you know, things for the sake of getting things, or this goal you want to reach some career goal or whatever, it's not going to be enough to satisfy you. Now you want to reach out to humanity. You want to do things that are going to uplift humanity. And that is just so where this vibration, this transformation of Earth is taking us. We're thinking more outside of ourselves. We're merging with the cosmos, aren't we? Because we know that whatever we do impacts everything, the whole. And so you're moving into that consciousness. So here's what oneness is. One need not be any less prosperous in making such a shift, for the key to sustaining the manifestation of abundance under conditions where the idea of personal prosperity is irrelevant is the subtle shift in where one chooses to focus one's intent. Because beings who choose to dedicate their lives to humanity or to restoring the harmony of the environment are not required to choose poverty as a demonstration of that selflessness. Circumstances will manifest quite naturally that would ensure the physical comforts of those in question when one is aligned with one's own highest purpose. Wow. You know, a lot of people say, oh, they want to take a vow of poverty to prove that they are worthy of their divine nature. Oneness is telling us you don't need to do that. Listen how they say it. The question then is not what one chooses to be doing so much as the intent with which one chooses to be doing it. So when one is focused upon material gain as the end in itself, as are the majority of beings in your world, the outcome is constricted by the foundation of fear upon which scarcity is based. Did you hear that? And, oh my goodness, thank you, Jesus, thank you, God, thank you. Listen, what they're saying is, and, oh, okay, let me slow down because it's coming so fast. What oneness is saying, and I'm going to use this as an example. If you are trying to figure out what career to go into based on how much money you will make, or if you're deciding which job offer to accept based on how much money you will make, then you are really dealing in a consciousness of fear. Do you get that? What oneness is saying, that your decision is constricted by the foundation of fear upon which scarcity is based. If I don't make a certain amount of money, here's the underlying thought. If I don't make a certain amount of money, I'm not going to be able to pay my mortgage. Now, how do we flip this? Let's listen to what oneness says. When one is focused upon selfless service to the higher good of all life without fear of one's own well-being, well, the highest result is manifested for all. You see how they flipped it? And so where is that going to come from? How do you get there if you're applying it to a job? Now, am I going to say, I'm going to choose a career to work in health because I'll be helping people to heal? No, that would be wrong. I need to move into my joy. Because I know that if I'm in alignment with the divinity within me and I'm doing what brings me joy, it is the byproduct of that will be servings on some level. If I'm an artist and I really love to joy, I love to draw and to create this magnificent art, rather than me running off and trying to do, you know, commit to some career when really that has nothing to do with art, where my joy is in my art, I need to trust that I can sustain myself doing my art. And what happens with the art? It's out there for people to see and enjoy, and they buy it and they put it in their homes, and it's giving them joy. Am I uplifting them? Yes, even through art. If I love to teach, and if I pursue that, and I trust that in doing that which I love, it will sustain me. And I'm turned into I'm a wonderful teacher, and I'm changing lives and expanding awareness. Is that not uplifting humanity? Yes. So oneness is saying we need to shift, and first of all, in trusting that all of our needs will be met, but more importantly, that we're moving in our joy and sharing our God-given gifts. Because your God-given gift will give you joy. Because you're on your life purpose. Okay, so now listen to what they say. Many who read these words will struggle with this concept, even after you have grasped the other concepts, of the other aspects of your process. Many of you still have difficulty with the idea of abundance. Despite the extent of your inner metamorphosis, I mean, you're here, you're studying, but if you're struggling with abundance, you still have to deal with your fear, and you're not trusting. Some of you actually presume that great self-sacrifice is required of you at this stage of your journey as a gesture of compensation for all you have accomplished in terms of your personal growth. But nothing could be further from the truth. There is absolutely no price to be paid for your spiritual journey. For who is it that would be paying such a price? And to whom would it be paid? Listen, it's all oneness. So be very clear that if you are choosing austerity and physical deprivation as a way of demonstrating your spiritual focus, it is you and you alone who is making such a choice. It is not being asked of you, nor is it expected, for a demonstration of any kind is a statement of separation from the other you are trying to impress with your action. Breathe, please, breathe. If you think it is somehow holy to go without, that is, you are believing in a state of separation. You're not believing in God is my source. All of my needs are met. Oh, no, I can do without those things because, you know, I don't want my life to be controlled by things. A consciousness of fear. There is no other. Oneness is not impressed by deprivation. Oneness is not invested in your mundane choices. Choose as you will and enjoy the results of your choices. And see, listen to how they say it. Is this choice going to bring you joy? Because if you're miserable, you're not connected. And understand, you're always connected, but you're not aware of your connection. Let me word it differently. You have made a choice, and by all means choose. Is that choice making you happy? Okay, so when your heart is clear that the focus of your life is toward the highest good of all life, let it be through the recognition of the oneness that unites all aspects of that life and includes you as a vital part of it. It is counterproductive to the thrust of all you would do if you approach those efforts with an altruistic attitude of self-sacrifice. You are not here as a statement of separation from life, but as a materialized statement of the unification with it. You are life. You are not helping the other person in your well-meaning activity. You are helping yourself. For that self is the oneness of which you are part and none other. So, if you're doing charity work, it makes you feel good that you're doing charity work, doesn't it? You're not there really to help the other because we're all one. That's what oneness is saying. And when you feel good, others feel good. That is a powerful concept. We have a hard time, right, I think, grasping this because we believe that we're separate. And that's what oneness is stressing here. You are not separate. You are one. There is only oneness. And all of your choices, and we've talked about this before, all of your choices have a ripple effect throughout the entire cosmos. And if there's one thing that I feel compelled to bring, make you consciously aware of, is that you are part of an intergalactic experience. Expanding your consciousness through multi-dimensions, multi-universes. And your choices create vibrations that go far beyond what your five senses can see, hear, taste, smell, touch. So the sense of deep inner satisfaction that you may derive from efforts focused on humanitarian activity is not based on a holier-than-thou attitude towards your fellow beings. It is based upon the recognition of the sacredness of all life and a vivid awareness of the part that each and every creature plays in its portrayal. There are infinite variations on the theme that manifests as your physical reality, and none of you is any different in your core essence than the other. You simply are here to hold a particular note in the resonance that is playing a particular symphony of experience this here and now, and how you choose to experience that aspect of the one divine presence is totally up to you. Because if you choose to experience your recognition of your innate divinity through the expression of austerity, then by all means do so. But be clear about your motives for that demonstration. If your purpose is to show others your level of connectedness with the one divine presence, you have defeated that purpose by demonstrating yourself to be separate from all that it comprises it. If your purpose is to hide on a remote mountaintop and impress only God with your austerities, know that you have succeeded only in demonstrating your separation from the source in so doing, for there is no need for you to try to earn what you already are. And I love that. We're doing all of this stuff trying to go on a journey where we already are. You are already divine. What you need to do is move into your joy. Here's what oneness says. The more you try to prove through self-effacement the extent of your connectedness, the deeper the wedge that is driven between you and the harmony you yearn for. For harmony is achieved only within the context of unison. It cannot be achieved through acts of separation. You have to play. Get out here and play fair with the other kids. And enjoy life. I love how this just moves. The oneness says, the levels of joy that you are capable of experiencing at this stage of your journey are your birthright. That's a big hint, isn't it? It's telling you what? Be joyful. It is your birthright. There is no limit to the levels of abundance with which you may choose to gift yourself or not. It is simply choice. And there are no higher or lower aspects of it. All are simply options within the infinite range of possibility, an endless menu from which you have been invited to select what pleases you. And when you do so from a place that honors self in that way, there is absolutely no limit to the joy that may be shared. And listen to that. They're saying when you are in your joy, it's being shared. Something happens that you're not experiencing it alone. You may choose to experience your connectedness with self in the company of another being. And in so doing, you harmonize certain aspects of your beingness with the vibrational essence of that other person. Yet the connectedness remains your own. Meaning the experience of being with that person is your own experience. And while you may travel on a parallel path with another and have certain experiences in common, your path remains your own. And you may radiate the levels of your own newfound connectedness, and others may reflect what they feel in your presence, yet you are not required to carry those others up the mountain simply because you share a history of relationship. You have not cloned yourself in any respect. in your experience of physicality, and it is not to be expected that the pace at which your growth proceeds will be duplicated by another being, regardless of how kindred the connection. I have a wonderful brother. I love him dearly, but we have moved on two separate paths in our development, and his path is absolutely beautiful and perfect for him, and mine is absolutely beautiful and perfect for me, but yet we're still brother and sister, and we still love each other tremendously. And I marvel at his life choices and his intentions. And hopefully he marvels at mine. I think he does. But I'm not responsible for him. For years, I did feel a sense of responsibility for him, but he has his own path because he was my baby brother. But he has his own path. And so do I. And so there will be people in your life, and you have to recognize that. But on the journey, together, I mean, even with Dr. Reggie and I, he's had to deal with me growing. And I marvel at his growth. Through all these years, where he is, I've been marveling at it. But I've been on this journey to discover my connection to oneness. And we've taken a journey together. So each of you comes to this lifetime with a unique set of variables that will be worked out within the context of your relationships with the world at large, as well as with each other. And you will serve as the catalyst for the growth of many in the significant connections you have formed with other beings. And see, now I understand very clearly that, because my relationship with Reggie was a catalyst for my growth. And my spirit was calling out for that kind of relationship. And you know what? A lot of you right now, I do know this, are calling out for that spiritual relationship. And there is a reason why. And I'm not going to tell you what it is. Because I want you to read some of these summaries in these books, and then you'll know. Anyway, okay, so the pace at which the understandings are gleaned and integrated into as knowingness varies with every exchange. In other words, when you are going through experience, and then that experience creates knowledge within you, that varies from person to person. Some people get it very quickly. Some people just, oh my God, they're slow. Okay? But, you know, God bless them. That's their decision and their choice. They're saying, you know, I have to relive this pain before I get it. I need to go through this pain before I get it. I need to have another bad relationship because I don't feel worthy for the good one yet. Okay. Universe says, okay. Let's bring it on them. And you know what? I'm not passing judgment. That's their reality. That's what they choose. And that's what oneness is saying. Hey, if you want to live that life, it's okay. Go ahead. We have forever. You have an eternity to get the message. And we love you still. You are still our beloved. So you may presume that you are in certain relationships to sustain levels of harmony. Yet as you progress on your journey, that sublime state is. It is easy to fault the other person with not living up to the level of your expectations and the pace of your own journey. But do not underestimate the role that being is scripted to play for you. Harmony may well be a shared mutual objective, yet to truly achieve it in tandem with one another, it is necessary to allow the levels of density within the energy fields of each of you to rise to the surface and be released. Without a certain measure of abrasion, the smooth surface each hopes to sustain is not possible. Listen to that analogy. Okay, they're saying if the lesson here is to reach harmony, you have a person in your life that is going to be an irritant. But they are being an irritant for you to become more patient, to learn patience, or to learn how to maintain your peace despite them being an irritant. It allows you to grow, doesn't it? And they use the analogy, if you don't scrub something, if you're not doing to get a smooth surface and to get all of the rough parts out, you have to apply some type of abrasion. You have to be an irritant to smooth that out. And that's what they're saying. You have to have these periods of irritation. And they're defining it as a lower density in vibration in order to reveal the higher vibration. I love that. You know, the first time I read it, I didn't get it. And it's so clear now. So when two beings share the sacred journey in an intimate level, at an intimate level, each has been factored into the growth objective of the other. And relationships that at one time thrived on the ease at which the energy flowed between you are suddenly cast into turbulent waters of change. And that's when a lot of people say, hey, you know what? This is getting rocky. I'm jumping off ship here. Bye. I can't handle this. And really, that's a time when you probably should hold on. Because if you jump ship, you haven't learned, and then you're going to go into another relationship that's going to get rocky at some point. Hold on. Dr. Reggie and I, when we first got married, it was rocky. Because he wanted me to be at a level of operating at faith that I wasn't ready to get to. And I didn't understand how he could not pay attention to whenever I was screaming that the sky was falling, because he was moving in his faith. And so his impatience with me, I could have said, you know what, this man doesn't get me and I'm out of here. I can't take this. Or I could have equated the way he was living his life that it was irresponsible. I don't think you're working hard enough. But I didn't. I stayed there. And I grew in my faith. I stayed, and he stayed there. He could have said, this woman, I need someone that I am equally yoked with, and she cannot live by her faith. But he didn't. He would say things to me like, Cynthia, I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. In this house, we honor and worship God and live by faith. Woo! And then I would stop and go, oh my God, what manner of man is this? He said, at what point are you going to choose to live by faith? He stood his ground. And I had a choice. I could run or I could rise to the occasion. And I chose to rise to the occasion. We're going to continue this lesson tomorrow. I know I'm not going to get through all of it today. because what oneness is doing is showing you how to begin to express harmony in your life. And then they're going to take us through how we move into creating heaven on earth. Dr. Reggie, can you take us into our closing prayer? Well, first of all, let's see if I have any questions or comments this morning. Press 1 on your telephone keypad. You guys have been awfully quiet the past few weeks. What's going on with that? Tell me what's going on. Why you won't press 1 anymore? Nobody wants to talk to me this morning. Are you guys asleep? I'm gonna call in on Circles of Prosperity before I get up. I can hear, but I don't feel like talking. Okay. I love you anyway. I do. Oh. Good morning.
Good morning, Cynthia. This is Ronisa. How are you, Dr. Reggie?
Oh, we're fine, Ronisa. It's so good to hear you this morning.
I just want to say I enjoyed the show. No, we are not sleep. Everybody's just trying to absorb it and take it all in. Everything is so good and so it's so fresh. That's what we need. So we have to just take the time just to sleep.
Well,
so
I am.
It's all good, Cynthia. So when we don't perform, we're listening. We love you. Everybody's not driving like me. I know a lot of time to get their kids ready or if they're not out of school yet. But we're just listening, and it's very good information, and we really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for giving us a shout out this morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to hear from you. We love you.
Too.
You drive
I
safely.
I love you too.
All right, sweetheart. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Jean, good morning, baby.
Good morning, Cynthia. Good morning, Dr. Reggie.
Good morning, Jean.
I want to tell Cynthia and Dr. Reggie, this lesson is on such divine timing. real powerful. So I just want to say thank you.
Thank mm-hmm. you.
And I am so grateful to be
listening. We are too.
On mm-hmm. Circles of Prosperity. Because it's really on time with my ascension.
Oh,
thank
good.
You so much.
Mm-hmm.
We love you.
We love you very much.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Reggie, we're going to go ahead and go into our prayers. We'll wind down this morning.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful energy of ascension that we are all learning on this planet. We all come and look as a mirror onto things outside of ourselves, not realizing that your eyes are looking through us. It is our responsibility to honor everything that is sacred energy, even the air that we breathe, the blood that runs through these bodies and keeping us, the cells, the muscles, the whole framework of our actual bodies living in this physical dimension, we should be proud of and be careful about. And the relationships we encompass, they are all holy relationships, each one of them, not trying to force anyone to do what we want them to do, but to let them be allowed to be who they are individually in their space, that there's lessons to be learned, and each lesson is for our growth and for our upliftment and for the ascension. So we thank you on every aspect of our being. As individuals of God force and God nature and God doing and God loving, the energy of righteousness, right thinking, right acting, and right believing, that the oneness energy, the oneness that we are in you, is always exemplified and always expressed in love, not in ego, but in love. And once we do that, we will have divine faith, divine contemplation, divine peace, and divine energy of being. We believe it is so, and so it is.
And so it is. Thank you so much for joining us. Oh, my goodness. I cannot tell you how much I love each and every one of you. I love how you are growing and moving into the awareness of your divinity within you. You are magnificent and awesome being. Have a wonderful, blessed day. And we'll be here tomorrow at 7 a.m. God bless.